Here's Masechet Kinin, the third perek. Today is the first, second, and third Mishnah of the third perek, since according to how I understand this, these three need to be learned together in order to appreciate what they're teaching. Let's just recall in Masechet Kinin, we want to use as many birds as we can without violating this entanglement condition of the Ken Chova, which is specifically that we have to use half of the birds as chatas and half of them as ola. Second thing, in learning Masechet Kinin, we're first here in this set of presentations to learn some fundamentals of halacha logic, and that includes two details of pshat. First detail is what is it, what are the words or the phrase, and the second is why are they here in the text, as we're also going to start to appreciate more in this perek. And that's specifically, what is it that they come to answer? What do we learn from them? Since there don't seem to be any extra words, perhaps in learning any Mishnah, maybe in all of Torah, I don't know, but certainly here in Masechet Kinin, we can hold to that. Okay, so, first Mishnah of the third Perek, Bemed Devorim Amorim. I explained this in detail in the third Mishnah of the first Perek, and basically, this basically says everybody should have digested and understood everything that comes up to here in the first and second perek. And to summarize that in two words, what did we learn in the first and second perek? But Kohen Nimlach, with a box of birds, nests of birds, which arrive at the Kohen in the base of Mikdash, and he asks properly, what are these birds? Is this a Ken Hova? Is this Oda? Is this Chatas? Have there been any mixtures up to here? And then if they have been, then he recommends the kind of way of fixing to fulfill the obligation that we learned in the first and second perek. And so in the first and second perek, we could have been anywhere in a distant village. We could have been on the way of Aliyat Regel. We could have been next to the Beis HaMikdash. But here in the third perek, we have actually arrived at the Beis HaMikdash, because this third perek is going to bring with Aval Kohen She'eno Nimlach. What about the case where the Kohen just assumed what these boxes of birds were? Okay? And therefore, if you recall from the first Mishnah of the first Perek, that for birds, he takes the birds that he believes are chatas, and he puts them below their blood below the chutas ikra on the Mizbeach, and the ones that are ola, he puts their blood above the chutas ikra on the Mizbeach. And just like in the first Mishnah of the first Perek and the first Mishnah of the second Perek, here's a basic definition of what's going to be going on here in the third Perek. Okay, which then sets us up to deal with the cases of after things are brought to the Mizbeach in error. So, first example that they give is a chad lezu, shtayim lezu, shlosh lezu. Let's just draw it to get used to the drawing. So I had Mrs. A had two birds and Mrs. B had two birds. And when the worst case, when he brings them to the Mizbeach, is maybe all the A birds are above and all the B birds are below, or the other way around. So mexa kasher, mexa pasul, and that's going to be true if there are four A birds and four B birds, etc. Okay, so shnayim lezu, b'shnayim lezu, shlosh lezu, shlosh lezu. And just to get used to this way of diagramming, that's the Mizbeach, and the worst case is all of one of the groups, of the two equal groups, winds up above, and all of the other ones winds up below. So you have half kosher and half pasul, which means that the worst case is that you have two birds that are good as chatas. I don't know if they're A from Mrs. A or Mrs. B, and you have two birds which are good as ola. I don't know if they're Mrs. A or Mrs. B, but we've suggested to go into partnership for the other four birds that are missing. If they don't want to go into partnership, they basically have to bring more birds. But if they go into partnership, they only have to bring four birds, and in this case, and they go 50-50, half and half is their partnership. Okay? Now, as Chadazuba, Chadazu, Shtaim, Lazuba, Shtaim, Lazu, Shlosh, Lazuba, Shlosh, Lazu, Asa, Kula, Namala, they brought them all. What is the case where they bring them all above? So you have A and B. Half kosher, half pasul, because they were supposed to be two chatas and two olas, and they brought them as four olas. What happens if they bring them all below? Well, they brought four chattises, and they were supposed to bring two chattises and two olas. So mexikasher, mexiposel. Mexikasher, the chattises are good, but the olas were never brought. Here, the olas are good, but the chattises were never brought. And when they bring half, half, and half, half of each, of above and half below were good. That's exactly what the Mishnah tells us, which is basically a definition. Echad lezu, v'echad lezu, shtayim lezu, v'shtayim lezu, shlosh lezu, v'shlosh lezu. Asa kula namala, they brought them all above. Mexa kosher, mexa pasel. Half are kosher and half are pasel. Kula namatan, they brought them all below the chutas, asukran mizbeach. Mexa kosher, mexa pasel. All the olas are good, but none of the chattises were brought. Chetzi lamata v'chetzi lamata, et shelamala mexikasher mexipasel. So they brought them half above and half below. The ones above the chuta sikra, half of those are kosher and half are pasel. V'et shelamala, and the below, half of those are kosher and half of those are pasel. Okay. Now, second Mishnah of the third parak. In this Mishnah, I'm only going to try to explain according to my minority of the commentators, and I hope that some of your subsequent reviews of Masechet Kinin, you'll be able to merit to see and to learn and to think about other opinions about how to appreciate this second Mishnah of the third Perek. Okay. So they give me this weird asymmetric case. Echad lezu, shnayim lezu, v'shalosh lezu, v'eser lezu. Let's look at it. Okay. So, we had A has one nest, B has two nests, C has three nests, D has 100 nests, total of 106 nests, of which is two birds, four birds, six birds, and 200 birds, 212 birds. So we should have 106 above and 106 below to do them half above and half below. Of course, if you brought, what's the word, look at the worst case, kind of, an example of a worst case, 106 D birds were brought above, of which 100 of them are actually good, because he only has to bring 100 Ola birds. That means his 94 of the D birds were brought below, and all of those chattises are good. For C, they're supposed to bring six birds, they bring six birds below, three of them, three chattises are good, three still all three Olas. The B birds, all of them were brought below as chattises, two of them are good, and A birds one. So 1 plus 2 plus 3 plus 94 is 100, 100 and 100 is 200 birds. Hamar D looks like it's the Meruba. Looks like it's the woman with the largest number of birds. That's the one that we really want to say. And that's what the Mishnah says. Okay? So the Mishnah says, Chetzi lamala v'chetzi lamata, Hamaruba kosher. And in this example, the Meruba is the 100 birds. And then we have this funny phrase, Zeha klal. Now, why does it say this? Okay, and so we have to look for examples, and it's going to tell us what the klal is. What's the general rule? Kol makom she'ata yechol lechalok et hakinin, everywhere where you can divide up the kinin, v'lo yu mishal isha achad, and there won't be from some woman, ben lamala ben lamata, split that some of her birds are above and some below, mexikashra mexipasel. However, kol makom, everywhere where she'ena tayechol lechalok et hakinim, where you can't divide up the nests that are all mixed together, ad shiyu mishalisha chacha ben lamala ben lamatan, that some woman is going to always be split, hamaruba kosher. And this looks like the same language. It's not. So let's go away from this really heavy example that the Mishnah gives us and use a really simple example. Okay? We have Mrs. A, and she brings one nest. And we have Mrs. B, and Mrs. A brings two nests. Sorry, she brings two nests. Mrs. B brings two nests, and Mrs. C brings three nests. Okay, so birds, four birds, six birds. Now, what I'm going to show you is that there's two different meanings to hamaruba. From the example that they gave us, maruba would be Mrs. C, the one who has the largest number of birds. But when they tell you to divide into two groups, hamaruba is this other group. So let's do it. Okay, Mrs. C brings her six birds. We're supposed to have 14, this is 14 birds, which is seven above and seven below. So Mrs. C brings her six birds above. Okay? Mrs. A brings her four A birds below. Okay? Now I have the B birds. So what do I have to do? I have three B birds below and one B bird above. That's how it would divide out. So how many are kosher? Well, Mrs. C was, she brought three olas are good. Mrs. B is supposed to bring two olas and she brings one, that's good. Mrs. A is supposed to bring two chattises and two olas, so two of hers are good. And Mrs. B is supposed to bring two chattises and two olas, so two of hers are good. Okay, so we have four and four, we have eight birds, which is the larger group of the two groups when we try to make the groups the same size. Okay? And that's the weird conclusion. And Ketzad, really you gotta do your homework. Try it with 2, 3, and 4, with 1, 2, and 5. Try it with different combinations of birds, with 4 women, with 6 women, and you'll see that when you try to divide it into 2 different groups, if the 2 groups come out to the same number, Mexikasher, Mexipuzzle, just like that. But when it comes out to 2 groups that they're not the same size, one of the groups is going to overflow, and it's the number in the larger group of the 2 groups, which is the Merubah. Okay? That's the curious feature of this Mishnah. Okay, so there's also some other peculiarities to this Mishnah. Now that we understand what they mean by HaMerubah Kosher, because in the third Mishnah of the first Perek, where we would have the same case L'chatchila, it would be HaMuat Kosher, the smaller number. So a most interesting and surprising aspect here is where up to here we've been looking at something that looks like arithmetic or din or laws. All of a sudden, we have the surprise here that b'di'eved, are we looking at lifnei meshurat hadin? Are we looking at rachamim as a reality of doing the arithmetic? Now comes the third Mishnah of the third Perek. Chatas lezu v'olda lezu. Great, I've got 2 birds. It's either a ken mefereshes, it's a chatas with an ola that got mixed together. All good to me. Asa kula namala, did them all above. Mexikasher, mexipuzzle. The ola is kosher, the chatas wasn't brought. Kulan namatan, mexikasher, mexipuzzle. The chatas was good, the ola was never brought. Chetzi lamala v'chetzi lamatan, shtehem pasul. One was brought above and one was brought below. She'ani omer. Who's the ani omer? This is inside of a Bemed Devarim Omrim, as I explained in the earlier presentation. So Moshe Rabbeinu is telling you, Chatas Karva Lamalav Ola Lamata, that it was done exactly backwards. Not because that's what happened, rather because we in Halacha want to take responsibility for guaranteeing that the woman has fulfilled her responsibility to correctly bring her Chatas and Ola. So when he says, Shani Amar Chatas Karva Lamalav Ola Lamata, he's basically saying, we have to worry to make sure that the obligation has been fulfilled. Now, this should have seemed to be obvious, this third Mishnah, so why is it here? If we did not have this third Mishnah of the third Perek, then we would say, why isn't this like the first Mishnah of the third Perek, where we say Mexikasher, Mexipuzzle? Or we'd say, why isn't this like the second Mishnah of the third Perek, where we say HaMerubah Kosher? Or why isn't it even like the third Mishnah of the first Perek where we say Hamuat Kosher? This Mishnah is sort of a lesson like the second Mishnah in the second Perek, which tells us we're trying to do the best we can to make sure everybody fulfills their obligation, not just to follow this formula or rule that we've learned in the cases that have been brought. We're always looking for the best way to use the most birds without any risk of error. And here, when you use them, there's no we have to make sure that they've accomplished the chatasim requirement for each and every woman, whether individually or grouped together. Risk in general is risk of physical damages, and it's risk of mental, emotional, or psychological damages to individuals, families, communities, and nations. Some damages can be repaired, and some damages leave lasting scars if unrepaired. Then it'll have an impact on the decision-making protocol of these individuals, families, communities, and nations, which can then lead to further risk of damage. So there's a the havdil, it's almost avera goreret avera. To recall the remarks in the introductory presentation, Masechet Kinim is firstly to help us understand and appreciate the halacha logic of how to avoid risk, while Masechet Nida, as mentioned in the introductory presentation, is firstly to help us understand and appreciate the halacha of ways how to minimize risk. By the way, this third Mishnah, where the Ani Omer seems to be Moshe Rabbeinu, it describes a simple system which could be confused with the commonly known Murphy's Law for complex systems. This Mishnah, the third Mishnah of the third parak, is limited to items of exceptional significance, such as living birds, while Murphy's Law is a joke about shlamazel, not a law. Nevertheless, as we saw in the second mission of the third parak, while we are concerned with problematic and worst-case scenarios, we should also notice, since the second mission of the third parak let us use more than we would have used l'chatkil if it was Kohen Nimlach, we also should notice that brachas and tefillah help to remind us that there seems to be a somewhat higher likelihood of best-case scenarios than worst-case scenarios. And of course, neither best-case nor worst-case scenarios are typical for normal scenarios. So back to the first and second Mishnah of the first parak. In most circumstances, halacha lets us use batel and spek speka. So Murphy's Law is actually a very special case and not the normal way of the world, and thus not the normal case in Psak Halacha regarding the status of circumstances, nor the best life practices advice, which is what Halacha gives us. Thank you. Here's Masechet Kinim, the third parak. Today is the first, second, and third Mishnah of the third parak, since according to how I understand this, these three need to be learned together in order to appreciate what they're teaching. Let's just recall in Masechet Kinim, we want to use as many birds as we can without violating this entanglement condition of the Ken Chova, which is specifically that we have to use half of the birds as Chatas and half of them as Ola. Second thing, in learning Masechet Kinim, we're first here in this set of presentations to learn some fundamentals of Halacha logic, and that includes two details of Pshat. First detail is what is it, what are the words or the phrase, and the second is why are they here in the text, as we're also going to start to appreciate more in this parak, and that's specifically what is it that they come to answer, what do we learn from them, since there don't seem to be any extra words, perhaps in learning any Mishnah, maybe in all of Torah, I don't know, but certainly here in Masechet Kinim we can hold to that. Okay, so first Mishnah of the third parak, Bemed Devorim Amorim. I explain this in detail in the third Mishnah of the first parak, and basically, this basically says everybody should have digested and understood everything that comes up to here in the first and second parak. And to summarize that in two words, what did we learn in the first and second parak? But Kohen Nimlach, with a box of birds, nests of birds, which arrive at the Kohen in the base of Mikdash, and he asks properly, what are these birds? Is this a Ken Hova? Is this Oda? Is this Chatas? Have there been any mixtures up to here? And then if they have been, then he recommends the kind of way of fixing to fulfill the obligation that we learned in the first and second parak. And so in the first and second parak, we could have been anywhere in a distant village. We could have been on the way of Aliyah Regel. We could have been next to the Beis HaMikdash. But here in the third parak, we have actually arrived at the Beis HaMikdash, because this third parak is going to bring with Aval Kohen She'eno Nimlach. What about the case where the Kohen just assumed what these boxes of birds were? Okay? And therefore, if you recall from the first Mishnah of the first parak, that for birds, He takes the birds that he believes are chatas, and he puts them below their blood below the chuta sikra on the mizbeach, and the ones that are olan, he puts their blood above the chuta sikra on the mizbeach. And just like in the first mishnah of the first perek and the first mishnah of the second perek, here's a basic definition of what's going to be going on here in the third perek. Okay. Which then sets us up to deal with the cases of after things are brought to the Mizbeach in error. So, first example that they give is Echad Lezu, Vechad Lezu, Shtayim Lezu, Vishtayim Lezu, Shlosh Lezu, Shlosh Lezu. Let's just draw it to get used to the drawing. So I had Mrs. A had two birds, and Mrs. B had two birds. And when the worst case when he brings them to the Mizbeach is maybe all the A birds are above and all the B birds are below, or the other way around. So, mechs a kasher, mechs a pasul, and that's going to be true if there are four A birds and four B birds, etc. Okay, so shnayim lezu, b'shnayim lezu, shlosh lezu, shlosh lezu. And just to get used to this way of diagramming, that's the Mizbeach, and the worst case is all of one of the groups, of the two equal groups, winds up above, and all of the other ones winds up below. So you have half kosher and half pasul, which means that the worst case is that you have two birds that are good as chatas. I don't know if they're A for Mrs. A or Mrs. B, and you have two birds which are good as ola. I don't know if they're Mrs. A or Mrs. B, but we've suggested to go into partnership for the other four birds that are missing. If they don't want to go into partnership, they basically have to bring more birds. But if they go into partnership, they only have to bring four birds, and in this case, and they go 50-50, half and half is their partnership. Okay? Now, as Echad Lezu, Echad Lezu, Shtayim Lezu, Shtayim Lezu, Shlosh Lezu, Shlosh Lezu, Asa Kula Namala, they brought them all. What is the case where they bring them all above? So you have A and B. Half kosher, half pasul, because they were supposed to be two chatas and two olas, and they brought them as four olas. What happens if they bring them all below? Well, they brought four chatas, and they were supposed to bring two chatas and two olas, so mechs a kosher, mechs a pasul. Mechs a kosher, the chatas are good, but the olas were never brought. Here, the olas are good, but the chatas were never brought. And when they bring half of each of above and half below were good. That's exactly what the Mishnah tells us, which is basically a definition. Echad lezu v'echad lezu, shtayim lezu v'shtayim lezu, shlosh lezu v'shlosh lezu. Asa kula namala, they brought them all above. Mechsa kosher, mechsa pasul. Half are kosher and half are pasul. Kula namatan, they brought them all below the chuta asukran mizbeach. Mechsa kosher, mechsa pasul. All the olas are good, but none of the chatases were brought. Chetzi lamata v'chetzi lamata, et shelamala mechsa kosher mechsa pasul. So they brought them half above and half below. The ones above the chuta sikra, half of those are kosher and half are pasul. Ve'et shelamala, and the below, half of those are kosher and half of those are pasul. Okay. Now, second mishnah of the third parak. In this mishnah, I'm only going to try to explain according to my minority of the commentators, and I hope that some of your subsequent reviews of Masechet Kinin, you'll be able to merit to see and to learn and to think about other opinions about how to appreciate this second mishnah of the third parak. Okay. So they give me this weird asymmetric case. Echad lezu, shnayim lezu, v'shalosh lezu, v'eser lezu. Let's look at it. Okay. So, we had A has one nest, B has two nests, C has three nests, D has 100 nests, total of 106 nests, of which is two birds, four birds, six birds, and 200 birds, 212 birds. So we should have 106 above and 106 below to do them half above and half below. Of course, if you brought, what's the word? Look at the worst case, an example of a worst case, 106 D birds were brought above, of which 100 of them are actually good, because he only has to bring 100 Ola birds. That means his 94 of the D birds were brought below, and all of those chatases are good. For C, they're supposed to bring six birds, they bring six birds below, three of them, three chatases are good, three still all three Olas. the bee birds, all of them were brought below as chatuses. Two of them were good, and the A birds won. So 1 plus 2 plus 3 plus 94 is 100. 100 and 100 is 200 birds. Hamr D looks like it's the Maruba. Looks like it's the woman with the largest number of birds. That's the one that we really want to say. And that's the, what the Mishnah says, okay? So the Mishnah says, Chetzi lamala v'chetzi lamata, Hamaruba kosher. And in this example, the Maruba is the 100 birds. And then we have this funny phrase, Zeh HaKlal. Now, why does it say this? Okay? And so we have to look for examples. And it's going to tell us what the klal is, what's the general rule. Kol makom she'ata yechol lechalok et hakinin, everywhere where you can divide up the kinin, v'lo yu mishal isha achad, and there won't be from some woman, ben lamala ben lamata, split that some of her birds are above and some below, mexa kashra mexa pasul. However, kol makom, everywhere where she'enata yechol lechalok et hakinin, where you can't divide up the nests that are all mixed together, ad shiu mishalisha chacha ben lamala ben lamatan, that some woman is going to always be split, ha maruba kosher. And this looks like the same language. It's not. So let's go away from this really heavy example that the Mishnah gives us and use a really simple example. Okay? We have Mrs. A, and she brings one nest. And we have Mrs. B, and Mrs. A brings two nests. Sorry, she brings two nests. Mrs. B brings two nests, and Mrs. C brings three nests. Okay, so birds, four birds, six birds. Now, what I'm going to show you is that there's two different meanings to hamaruba. From the example that they gave us, maruba would be Mrs. C, the one who has the largest number of birds. But when they tell you to divide into two groups, Hamaruba is this other group. So let's do it. Okay, Mrs. C brings her six birds. We're supposed to have 14, this is 14 birds, which is seven above and seven below. So Mrs. C brings her six birds above. Okay. Mrs. A brings her four A birds below. Okay. Now I have the B birds. So what do I have to have? Three B birds below and one B bird above. That's how it would divide out. So how many are kosher? Well, Mrs. C was, she brought three olas, are good. Mrs. B is supposed to bring two olas, and she brings one, that's good. Mrs. A is supposed to bring two chatuses and two olas, so two of hers are good. And Mrs. B is supposed to bring two chatuses and two olas, so two of hers are good. Okay? So we have four and four. We have eight birds, which is the larger group of the two groups when we try to make the groups the same size. Okay? And that's the weird conclusion. And Ketzad, really, you got to do your homework. Try it with 2, 3, and 4, with 1, 2, and 5. Try it with different combinations of birds, with 4 women, with 6 women, and you'll see that when you try to divide it into two different groups, if the two groups come out to the same number, mexikasher mexipuzzle, just like that. But when it comes out to two groups that they're not the same size, one of the groups is going to overflow, and it's the number in the larger group of the two groups, which is the maruba. Okay, that's the curious feature of this Mishnah. Okay, so there's also some other peculiarities to this Mishnah. Now that we understand what they mean by Hamaruba Kosher, because in the third Mishnah of the first Perek, where we would have the same case Lichatchila, it would be Hamuat Kosher, the smaller number. So a most interesting and surprising aspect here is where up to here we've been looking at something that looks like arithmetic or din or laws. All of a sudden, we have the surprise here that b'di'eved, are we looking at lifnei meshurat adin, or are we looking at rachamim? as a reality of doing the arithmetic. Now comes the third Mishnah of the third Perek. Chatas lezuv ha'olda lezuv. Great, I've got two birds. It's either a ken mefereshes, it's a chatas with an olda that got mixed together. All good to me. Asa kula namala, did them all above. Mexa kosher, mexa pasul. The ola is kosher, the chatas wasn't brought. Kula namatan, mexa kosher, mexa pasul. The chatas was good, the ola was never brought. Chetzi lamala v'chetzi lamatan, shtehem pasul. One was brought above and one was brought below. She'ani omer. Who's the ani omer? This is inside of a Bemed Devarim Omrim, as I explained in the earlier presentation. So Moshe Rabbeinu is telling you, chatas karva lamala v'ola lamata, that it was done exactly backwards. Not because that's what happened, rather, because we in Halacha want to take responsibility for guaranteeing that the woman has fulfilled her responsibility to correctly bring her chatas and ola. So when he says, Shani amar chatas karva lamala va'ola lamata, he's basically saying, we have to worry to make sure that the obligation has been fulfilled. Now, this should have seemed to be obvious, this third Mishnah, so why is it here? If we did not have this third Mishnah of the third Perek, then we would say, why isn't this like the first mission of the third parak, where we say mexa kosher, mexa pasul? Or we'd say, why isn't this like the second Mishnah of the third parak, where we say hamaruba kosher? Or why isn't it even like the third Mishnah of the first parak, where we say hamuad kosher? This Mishnah is sort of a lesson like the second Mishnah in the second parag, which tells us we're trying to do the best we can to make sure everybody fulfills their obligation, not just to follow this formula or rule that we've learned in the cases that have been brought. We're always looking for the best way to use the most birds without any risk of error. And here, when you use them, there's no... We have to make sure that they've accomplished the chatas and requirement for each and every woman, whether individually or grouped together. Risk in general is risk of physical damages, and it's risk of mental, emotional, or psychological damages to individuals, families, communities, and nations. Some damages can be repaired, and some damages leave lasting scars if unrepaired. Then it'll have an impact on the decision-making protocol of these individuals, families, communities, and nations, which can then lead to further risk of damage. So there's the havdil, it's almost avera goreret avera. To recall the remarks in the introductory presentation, Masechet Kinim is firstly to help us understand and appreciate the halacha logic of how to avoid risk, while Masechet Nida, as mentioned in the introductory presentation, is firstly to help us understand and appreciate the halacha of ways how to minimize risk. By the way, this third Mishnah, where the Ani Omer seems to be Moshe Rabbeinu, it describes a simple system which could be confused with the commonly known Murphy's Law for complex systems. This Mishnah, the third Mishnah of the third Perek, is limited to items of exceptional significance, such as living birds, while Murphy's Law is a joke about shlamazel, not a law. Nevertheless, as we saw in the second mission of the third parak, while we are concerned with problematic and worst-case scenarios, we should also notice, since the second mission of the third parak let us use more than we would have used l'chatkil if it was Kohen Nimlach, we also should notice that brachas and tefillah help to remind us that there seems to be a somewhat higher likelihood of best-case scenarios than worst-case scenarios. And of course, neither best-case nor worst-case scenarios are typical for normal scenarios. So back to the first and second Mishnah of the first parak. In most circumstances, halacha lets us use batel and spek speka. So Murphy's Law is actually a very special case and not the normal way of the world, and thus not the normal case in Psak Halacha regarding the status of circumstances, nor the best life practices advice, which is what Halacha gives us. Thank you.